And I want to start tonight. Pastor started 2 weeks ago in the book of Psalms. Everybody say Psalms. And he said he was going to start with one. Maybe you weren't here. And he said at the end of the month in June, he's going to finish with 150. And in between, we're going to cover all of them, right? That's 148 Psalms that we're going to all cover in just a couple of weeks. And tonight, we're going to try it. Because tonight, we're going to do things a little differently. And I want to set it up like this. In Psalms 145, I'm going to start. I'm going to read 1 through 13. And I believe you're going to like tonight. I want to start it with this. Verse 1 says, I will extol you, my God and King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Now watch this. One generation shall commend your works to another. That means it transfers. It goes from the younger to the middle to the older, and then the older. This is what the psalmist was saying, one generation will commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They will speak of the might of your awesome deeds and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth from the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious. Everyone say gracious. And merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he's made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of your glorious kingdom and shall tell of your power. Watch this, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Verse 13 says, and it ends with such power, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Everyone say, all generations. Your kingdom shall endure through all generations. If tonight is family night, I thought it'd be pretty appropriate if we had some fun. If we got to see those generations. I was driving down the road last week and I knew tonight was my night to speak. And we kind of combined the two, my night to speak with a generational family night. I just said, you know what? I'm going to do things a little different. I don't know if you've seen me step out a little bit on a limb before, but I'm willing to take a risk to do something and see something big from God. Psalms 145 says that we shall see the generations connected and pass it together. So I thought it'd be really cool tonight. I'm going to need you to stay in here because we're going to walk through a lot of scripture tonight, but it's not going to be just for me reading. We're going to let the generations read it. So we've got someone from the kid generation, from the student generation, from the young adult generation. We've got some from the mom and dad generation. And then we got somebody from the senior generation. And we're all tonight going to do exactly what Psalms 145 says. We're going to declare the mighty works of the Lord like a baton race, like an Olympic race. We're going to pass it from one generation to the next. And I want you to give a big round of applause to our firsts. Our first young lady named Olivia Dean. Olivia Dean? Come on, Olivia. Come on, Olivia. What, you are famous up here. Do you have an Instagram? A TikTok? Then all these people, they love you without all that social media. Olivia Dean is a student in our kids ministry, and I thought it'd be really cool to kick off tonight if she read her favorite psalm, and that's what each of them are going to do. They're going to their favorite psalm and talk to you tonight from their generation, from their heart. Some of them are going to scream. Some of them are going to talk softly. Some of them may dance around. I don't know what each of them are going to do, but each generation is going to tell us the goodness of God, and we're going to pass it from one generation to the next. Is that good, Olivia? All right, you're on.
I'm going to be reading Psalms 31, 19 through 20. You have stored up so many good things. You have stored them up for those who have respect for you. You give those things while everyone watches. You give them to people who run to you for safety. They are safe because you are with them. You hide them from the evil plans of their enemies. in your house you keep them safe from those who bring charges against them. What that verse 19 means to me, that God is good, and when we honor and respect him, he stores good in us. Just like in the story of David and Goliath, David honored God, and David was able to beat Goliath. While all of David's enemies were watching, God gave David the victory. Verse 20 talks about God being a safe place, and when we are with God, we are safe. This reminds me of a tornado. When a tornado comes, people hide in a cellar to stay safe. God is like the cellar. The enemy can be like a tornado, destroying everything in its path. But when we hide in the cellar, like God, we are safe.
So today, I'll be reading Psalms 13. Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good. What a good blueprint for a prayer. We are not supposed to we're not supposed to be super perfect with our prayer. It lays it out. David is struggling. He says, how long? Four times in the first two verses. How long will you forget me? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? He has been praying and praying and praying and still no answer. He says, restore the sparkle to my eyes. Enlighten me. Give me your will today, Lord. Because if I don't have the word of God, if I don't have the will of God, I will spiritually die. Then I have no purpose. I'm just dust in the wind. But even when David feels that the Lord just doesn't answer, the Lord isn't there. He says, I will trust in your unfailing love. How beautiful. How beautiful of a scripture. I will rejoice because you have rescued me through everything I've done wrong, through every doubt I've had, through every mistake I've made. I trust that your son on the cross was not for nothing, that he rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. How beautiful.
I am speaking out of Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the gracious ones and the glorious ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also rests secure. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, can somebody say amen? Nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Look at verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. So if he's at our right hand, what can he do? How good is it that Jesus is at our right hand? Because the right hand man is the one who supports. He's the one who guides. He's the one who's like, hey, look, something's missing over here. We need to fix it. That's what the right hand man does. And he's at the right hand of the Father. He's the one who helps the Father. Jesus is the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. So he's the one who went to the earth and said, let me fix it. Let me fix it. But it also says that at Jesus's right hand are our heavenly pleasures. It says he is at our right hand, but with heavenly pleasures are at your right hand. Your right hand is what is good for me, because what is good for me is at my right hand. He's so good to us.
Okay, first, before we start reading, man, these kids and this youth, they're amazing, man. The young, wow. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 55. It's a long one, but I'm going to treat it. We'll get to it. Okay. God, listen to my prayer and do not ignore my plea for help. Pay attention to me and answer me. I am restless in turmoil with my complaint because of my enemy's voice, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down disaster on me and harass me in anger. My heart shudders within me and terrors of death sweep over me. Fear and trembling grip me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, if only I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and find rest. How far would I flee? I would stay in the wilderness. I would hurry to my shelter from the raging wind and the storm. Lord, confuse and confound their speech. For I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they make their rounds on the walls. Crime and trouble are within it. Destruction is inside it. Oppression and deceit never leave its marketplace. Now it is not an enemy who insults me. Otherwise I could bear it. It's not a foe who rises up against me. Otherwise I could hide from him. But it is you, a man who is my peer, my companion, and good friend. We used to have a close relationship, fellowship, excuse me. We walked with the crowd into the house of God. Let death take them by surprise. Let them go down to Sheol, because evil is in their homes and within them. But I call to God and the Lord will save me. I complain and groan morning, noon, and night, and he hears my voice. Though many are against me, he will redeem me from my battle unharmed. God, the one enthroned from long ago, will hear and will humiliate them, because they do not change and do not fear God. My friend acts violently against those at peace with him. He violates his covenant. His words are buttery and are smooth, but war is in his heart. His words are softer than oil, but they are drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. God, you will bring them down to the pit of destruction. Men of bloodshed and treachery will not live out half their days, but I will trust in you.
That was a tough one for us, because we went through a pretty tough time back a few years ago. And I won't get into any of that at all at this point, but I will say this. We walk with people in our lives, friends and family. We do not see the same thing, even though we're going the same direction. We need to choose the people we surround ourselves with carefully. Remember, look to Jesus only as the measurement. Regardless of what we have been through, Christ Jesus redeems us. Trust in only him.
Gerald! Yeah! Come on, Gerald! What's up?
You're awesome.
Hey, Kyle, I want to just clear one thing up. Am I a senior or a senor? Anyway, how did I get to this place? I guess I got older. Anyway, you know, when Kyle asked me to talk about a psalm, my favorite psalm is Psalm 23. And Psalm 23, it's always thought, it's become famous because it's preached at a lot of funerals. But Psalm 23, Well, let me first say it, then I kind of tell you what it's about. I pray it every morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table with me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I love the Word of God. I love Psalms. You know, Max Lucado said that Psalms are for Sundays because that's how you communicate with God. Proverbs are for Monday through Saturday because that's how God teaches you how to communicate with man. Psalms is a collection of hymns and songs and prayers. So if you're not ever sure about how to pray, when to kneel, when to stand, read Psalms. Sing Psalms. Just pray them in your head. You know, Psalm 23 was not written by David as a psalm of death and suffering, but rather of trust and confidence. When David wrote Psalm 23, he was not thinking about dying. He was thinking about living. He was thankful for the confidence that Psalm 23 gave him, the confidence that God is a caregiver, that God is always in his presence, that God can count on God's presence every single day, on his mercy and his goodness, that God will always be there for David. And David went through a lot, but he knew that God was present and that God knew that he could always dwell in God's house. Thanks.
Hey, did you not like that? Was that just not good? Man, I was sitting there wanting to do a little moonwalk dance or something. I don't know if you picked this up, but if you notice it, each generation had their own way of communicating. Each generation had an individual little touch. If you notice, Olivia was up here and she told us a great illustration that what kids can identify with: the shelter, the basement, and the tornado. Beautiful. And she did it in such an awesome, innocent kid version, right? And then you have Big Jordan Wiedemann up in here and his big student preacher voice. And he told us his favorite psalm with a different little style, a different little rhythm. It's very authoritative, very passionate, very loud. Then you had Kayla come up here as a young adult, someone who graduated high school 2 years ago. And I don't know if you noticed this either. Everyone stayed behind the nice little round table. And she came out like a bold lion and threw that hand up and brought this and brought that. And if you noticed her, a little more boldness than even Jordan had, because she's got just a little more life experience and a little more time in the Word and a little more gut inside of her to step out and be bold and not care what people say or think about her. Did you notice that? And then did you notice when Roosevelt and Nicole came up? I just noticed what a beautiful reader and voice she has to read the Word. In fact, Nicole, you just got up, signed up for a job that every time I preach, you're going to sit on the side here in a little chair and you're just going to read all my scriptures, because I mess them up half the time anyway. And so you can beautifully do that. That'll give me a second to pause, collect my thoughts, and then come out preaching like Kayla. Right? You just got yourself a job. You're on the payroll now. Tracy, sign her up. Get her to the HR department. She's my official scripture reader. But then, you know, Roosevelt came up here, and what did he represent as a parent generation? He had a story. He had a story to tell. He gave us a psalm, but his psalm was connected to a story. Not a lot that a kid or a student has yet, but in older age in parenting, you come it with a story. And so what did that story do? That story grabbed our heart and connected it to the psalm, the word of God. And what a beautiful representation of what a parent generation does to speak and command the word of God. But then lastly, if you notice, you didn't see this because sometimes we have a little cheater screen down here, and sometimes we'll read the screen and it's almost like we've got it memorized. But I want you to understand tonight, and Gerald probably didn't want me to tell you the story, as he stood here tonight and he didn't even look or glimpse at the cheater screen. He actually has it memorized because he reads it every day. And what a beautiful description and picture of what the older generation is all about. They've got the word not just on their iPhone, they've got it buried in their hearts. Woo! Come on, Alan Dean, give me the woo! With the voice crack. I voice crack. Go ahead, Alan, go ahead. Yeah, there it is. There it is. And what a beautiful picture tonight of a family service, to where we will what? We will come together and beautifully, like Psalms 145 says, pass this word, pass this Jesus, pass this relationship, Raul, from one generation to the next. And we beautifully saw that tonight. And I want to end just with a couple of thoughts, because Psalms is nothing more than a heart's cry, an emotional cry from the writer, whether it be David or one of the other psalmists, that they cried out to God from the depths of their soul, which was often unfiltered. And I want you to understand tonight that out of Psalms, we can come to God with unfiltered thoughts. We can come to God with our questions. Those questions don't scare God. Our emotions don't turn him away. In fact, it often shows a point of return to where he wants to bring us closer. Our questions, our emotions shouldn't push us away from God. They should pull us closer towards God. And we see that tonight in the book of Psalms, about it was a people that were crying out to him and God responding, and through the ups and downs, people coming to the realization that what? God is God. He's in control, that he is a name worthy to be praised, lifted up and extolled. And if we will connect to the Psalms, we will begin to see our praise and our worship go to another level. And I don't know if you've already started to see this in this house over the year that I've been here. I've been able to watch our worship climb a little higher and a little higher and a little higher. Not because of a man, not because of what Jacob was doing or not doing, not because what LA is doing or is going to do, but because of a hunger inside this church, because a hunger inside our families, because of a hunger. I don't know if you've noticed this either, but when I came here a year ago, the students just got back from camp and they've been staying up in the front since they got back from camp. And if we will connect to the Psalms, to these emotional cries unto God that lift him up and extol him, then we begin to see our worship as a church begin to climb and climb and climb and climb. And Psalms 121 is my favorite psalm. It's my favorite psalm because my wife, when we were dating, used to sing this psalm in the church, connected to a beautiful music behind her. But it says this in Psalms 121: I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He will not let you slumber or sleep. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor slump. Come on, Nicole. Told you. Verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That is our cry tonight, that God would be the one that we look to in times of trouble. He would be the one we return to in times of runaway. That he doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber, that he is here always, forevermore, in us and through us. And I think if there's a psalm that sums it up, I think Psalms 121 would be that. And then I want to conclude tonight with my second favorite psalm, Psalm 24. And LA and the team, if you guys want to go ahead and come up. Psalms 124 verse 1 says this: the Lord, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. This is the cry of worship, that we come to him not with naughty hands, dirty hands, impure hands, but that we come to him, Patrick, with impure hands, with pure hands. It says, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and who does not swear deceitfully? He will receive his blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. Watch this again. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of God of Jacob. Such is the generation that is pure. Such is the generation that is righteous. Such is the generation that wants to see God move. This is what the Lord is looking for. And then 7 through 10, probably my favorite 3-4 scriptures in all the Psalms. It says this: lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory might come in. In my opinion, this is a setup for all the songs. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gate, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And then it says it again at 10. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And when we look at context and background, we begin to see there's a couple of versions and thoughts of what happens with 7 through 10. And it's simply this, is that this was often in the early church rehearsed in the church, almost like a skit or a drama that they would have in Vacation Bible School, that there would be a group of church members inside and there would be some outside, and they would literally have the church on the outside come up and knock on the door. And they would knock on the door and they would say what? Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory might come in. Can you picture this in your head? A group outside and a group inside. And from inside, peeping out the little mini blinds, right? Lifting up the shade from inside, they, the church, would cry out, who is this King of glory? And then from the outside, they would begin to declare the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And then they would say it again, who is this King of glory? And then from outside, they would declare once and for all, he is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And Sunday after Sunday and week after week, this would be such an example of what the ushering of the presence of God would be, that God is literally at the doors of this church knocking and saying, I'm ready to come in. Would you open the door? Would you open the gate so that I can come in? And from the inside, we're sitting here saying, who is it? What kind of credentials do you have? Let me see your magnetic key so that you can get in. And from the outside, Jesus is saying, I am the one who is mighty. I am the one who is stronger than opinions. I am the one who has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. I am the Lord Almighty. They rehearsed that. And why would they rehearse that? Because most scholars believe that this 7 through 10 was a foreshadowing of after Jesus dying on the cross, going up to heaven, and for the first time on heaven's doors, on heaven's gates, him grabbing the latch and ringing it upon the gate and upon the door and saying, open up doors, be lifted up gates, so that what? The King of glory might come in. And as Sterling showed us tonight, through the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus, Jesus was able to come up to the doors and the gates. And as heaven looked out through the many blinds and said, who is this King of glory? Because no one in the history of histories had ever come up and put their hand or their finger on the doorbell of heaven. For the first time in all of history, Jesus walked up with nail prints in his hands, with nail prints upon his ankles. And he walked up and said, I am the King. I have the authority. I just gave my life. I gave my life and I took it again. And I'm standing before you with now the credentials, with the magnetic key to say, open, 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 and let me in. And to me, that's what the book of Psalms is all about. The struggle within us, the emotions, the good days and the bad days, for us to
to make a decision to look out the mini blind and say, come on in. Jesus, you can have room and authority in my life. And I give you the power today. Would you stand on your feet with me tonight? So Father, all over this place, we invite you in. Father, we just look tonight at these generations. We thank you for Olivia and Jordan and Kayla and Gerald. We thank you for Nicole and Roosevelt, Lord. What a beautiful picture tonight of one generation passing into the next. And Father, I pray that tonight as we move into this worship song, that you would just begin to stir our hearts, that we would open our hearts, our doors and gates in our lives, that we would open our eyes, our mouths, our ears, and we would let you in, King of Glory, that you would come in strong and mighty, and that you would do a work inside of our lives, our homes, our families, and this generation. Father, may we be known as a church who passes it down to the next generation. They may not look the same. They may not say it the same. They may yell a little bit, or they may be a little quieter. They may not wear the clothes we wear. They may have tattoos and funny hair, but it does not matter, Lord, as the generation is being passed the goodness and the victor Jesus. Father, would you do that tonight all over this room as we lift our hearts and we worship you out of the psalms that have been read and sung tonight.